Welcome to the Bozeman Brief, an AI-powered podcast on the city of Bozeman.
This episode covers the July 14, 2026 Bozeman City Commission meeting, where commissioners tackled two UDC housekeeping amendments, one on downtown parking and one on short-term rentals, approved two street name changes, and held a work session on the Bozeman Creek Vision Plan.
Also on the agenda, 22 consent items and several board appointments. Let's get into it.
The consent agenda passed unanimously, but not before a resident named Emily Kelly raised questions about item F3, which involved the school district providing nearly $1.5 million to the city for a turf sports field near Gallatin High School. Kelly said she was shocked and questioned where the money came from, saying she would no longer vote for school mill levies, knowing that somehow money is getting set aside for something that we don't even know is coming up.
City Manager Chuck Wynn responded that this was a long-standing partnership between the city and the school district. The school district had planned to build the field on its own land for exclusive school use. Instead, the two entities partnered to build a turf field on city property near Gallatin High, where the school gets first right of use and the public gets access otherwise. Deputy Mayor Douglas Fisher added that the funding was part of the original $125 million bond issue voters approved to build Gallatin High School. He noted he'd voted for it as a school trustee and then voted to accept the funds as a commissioner.
The first action item was a UDC housekeeping amendment addressing parking regulations in the B3 zoning district, the core downtown area. Senior planner Chris Saunders explained that when the commission adopted the refreshed Unified Development Code last year, language about group residential parking standards in B3 was inadvertently omitted. The state legislature passed parking laws taking effect October 1, 2026, and this amendment ensures the city's code carries forward properly after that date.
The Community Development Board unanimously recommended approval. No public comment was received. The commission provisionally adopted the ordinance 5-0, with final adoption scheduled for July 28. Commissioner Emma Bodie called it very procedural, and Deputy Mayor Fisher expressed amusement that a downtown parking issue could be dispatched with no public comment in under 10 minutes.
The second housekeeping item drew more discussion. It addressed short-term rentals in the RA zoning district, which was created when the new UDC combined three former residential zones, RS, R1, and R2. That consolidation had an unintended effect. Type 2 short-term rentals, which had been allowed in R2, were no longer permitted in the new RA district. 62 existing Type 2 operators were affected.
Community Development Director Aaron George presented two alternatives. Alternative 1 would grandfather existing Type 2 operators in RA, but bar new ones, similar to how legacy Type 3 rentals were handled when new Type 3s were banned in 2023. Alternative 2 would allow Type 2 short-term rentals outright in RA as an accessory use. The Community Development Board recommended Alternative 2, and staff concurred.
For context, Type 2 short-term rentals require the host's primary residence, meaning the host must occupy the dwelling at least 70% of the calendar year. The city currently has 366 total short-term rentals. Type 2s make up 54% of all short-term rentals, with 62 of those in RA districts. Type 3s, where no one lives in the unit, were banned for new applicants in 2023. Existing Type 3s can continue operating as legacy permits.
Commissioner Sweeney asked how the city verifies the 70% residency requirement. George said hosts sign an affidavit under penalty of perjury. The city cross-references its records for multiple listings and investigates complaints. A few applications have been denied when hosts couldn't prove residency. Commissioner Sweeney disclosed she had once filed a complaint about a neighbor's short-term rental. City Attorney Greg Sullivan confirmed that did not create a conflict requiring recusal.
Commissioner Magic asked whether allowing Type 2s across all residential districts could trigger a large influx of new short-term rentals. George said she wouldn't expect that, since Type 2s must be primary residences. They don't take housing units off the market, the way Type 3s can.
Commissioner Magic pressed on the practical implications. If you own and live in a house in the RA district, you could rent that house for 4 months during the year as a short-term rental, and you can expect your neighbors to kind of do the same. George confirmed the 30% annual cap, but noted it doesn't have to be consecutive. Many hosts rent when they're traveling for work. The city's monitoring software tracks booking dates and availability.
Commissioner Bodie asked whether there were penalties for noncompliance beyond revoking the permit. Sullivan said the city's options are limited. They can seek compliance, issue a citation, and charge infraction costs authorized under state law, but cannot recover the host's profits.
Bodie also raised whether the state's new homestead declaration for property taxes could serve as a verification tool. Sullivan said staff hadn't examined that yet, but could explore it. Bodie noted the state threshold isn't identical to the city's 70% requirement, but would certainly get us a large portion of the way there.
The commission voted 5-0 to provisionally adopt Alternative 2. Commissioner Sweeney, who made the motion, said she supported it but flagged the idea of allowing aging-in-place scenarios where someone lives in an ADU and rents the main house, a topic George confirmed was outside the scope of this amendment. Bodie cited a report from the Southwest Montana Realtors Association showing short-term rental numbers in Big Sky had declined based on market forces alone, suggesting that the hunger for this particular type of investment may not be as intense as it was when the Type 3 ban passed. Mayor Morrison noted the irony of his position, saying that 3 years ago, he'd been on the other side, yelling at four other people to get rid of Type 3 short-term rentals.
Moving to street name changes. The first would rename Thomas Drive to North 27th Avenue. City Transportation Engineer Taylor Lonsdale explained that North 27th Avenue already exists both north and south of Thomas Drive, and a capital project under construction will connect them as a continuous through street. The city's design standards require new streets to assume the name of the street they align with.
33 addresses would be affected. The city received no formal protests and one public comment from a resident who enjoyed the quirkiness of having Thomas Drive in the middle of North 27th. A longtime Thomas Drive resident, Andy Van Orden, spoke against the change, listing the documents he'd have to update: driver's license, banking, LLCs, insurance, pet microchips, and asked the commission to leave the name as is. He said Thomas Drive was named after Tom Secor, who developed the area.
The commission voted 5-0 to rename the street. Commissioner Bodie suggested the city offer the old street signs to affected residents as mementos and expressed interest in documenting the history behind street names, possibly through a partnership with the Extreme History Project. She also asked that future name changes include direct mailers to all affected addresses. City Manager Wynn noted that direct mailings had been sent and said staff would investigate why the commenter didn't receive one.
The second name change, renaming Graff Street east of Tracy Avenue to East Graff Street, was initiated by the South Meadows Condominium Association, representing 100 residential units. Residents reported difficulty receiving deliveries and concerns about emergency response. The street signs already read East Graff Street, and city billing uses that name, but the plat still says Graff Street. Google Maps pulls the plat name, creating confusion. The commission approved the change 5-0, with 160 addresses affected. One formal protest was received.
The meeting's work session focused on the Bozeman Creek Vision Plan. Consultant Chris Marjankowski of Port Urbanism presented a mid-project update on the 47-week planning process, summarizing community input from workshops and a June 2nd public event at Sacagawea Park.
The plan has 5 goals: flood mitigation, water quality and ecological health, park and trail access, economic vitality, and community connection to the creek. 12 initial project ideas have been distilled into 4 categories: flood mitigation, downtown creekside parks around Bogart, Rouse, and City Hall, zoning and planning policy recommendations, and access and connectivity improvements.
Key questions posed to the commission included the target level of flood protection, 100-year flood, the Allied Engineering model's climate-adjusted figure of roughly 1,200 cubic feet per second, or the 500-year flood at over 1,500 CFS. The Commission generally favored the 100-year-plus climate adjustment, with most noting the 500-year standard would exceed the city's financial capacity, though Commissioner Sweeney said it was something to shoot for.
On trade-offs, all five commissioners indicated willingness to reduce parking along the Creek Corridor. Mayor Morrison said he would sooner give up half the parking spaces downtown than restrict this project based on the need for parking. On project priorities, Commissioner Bodie gave detailed feedback on each of the 12 ideas. She expressed support for using Mill Ditch as a flood bypass, converting the City Hall parking lot to park space, and utilizing unused public right-of-way. She was more cautious about relocating the Bogart Park Hockey Pavilion and the proposed footbridge over the railroad tracks.
The next round of public engagement is planned for August during the Sweet Pea Festival, with the final vision plan presentation to the Commission expected in December. The Commission also approved funding in the fiscal year 2027 budget for continued study.
In other business, the Commission made several board appointments, all passing 5-0, including Danica Komen to the Board of Health, three members and officers to the Historic Preservation Advisory Board, and Mike Waterman to the Downtown Urban Renewal Board.
This has been a CivicCast AI production. Review the meeting video at bozeman.net to verify accuracy. Thank you for your interest in local government.